Welcome back. In this intermediate Ableton lesson, we're going to build drum and bass transitions from scratch using one field recording and only stock devices. No sample packs, no third-party plugins, and no Magic Riser presets. Just a repeatable workflow that you can drop into any DNB project and get that professional tempo lock tension going into a drop. Here's the big idea. Field recordings are already packed with believable movement. Cars, trains, wind, crowds, doors, rain, they contain chaos and texture that synths often fake. Our job is to take that raw audio and force it to behave musically, on the grid, shaped for the mix, and evolving in a controlled way so it tells the listener, drop incoming. By the end, you'll have a 4-to-8 bar transition built from one recording, with four parts, a tempo-synced riser, a little pre-drop vacuum moment, an impact hit on the drop, and a downlifter tail that feels huge but stays out of the way once the drums land. All right. Step 0. Choose the right field recording. You want something with movement and a wide frequency spread. Train passbys, bus braking, escalator hum, rain on a metal surface, crowd wash, ocean, wind, a metal gate, all of that is perfect. Quick DNB specific tip. Recordings with mid-range texture, roughly 200 Hz to 4K, tend to cut through busy drum and bass mixes way better than something that's only airy top end. If your recording is basically just hiss, it can sound cool, but it won't feel present once the drums and bass arrive. Drag your field recording onto an audio track and rename it Field RAW. Before we do anything else, do this coach move. Audition the best 2 seconds. Loop a tiny region and scroll through the file like you're browsing a Wavitable. You're listening for steady, usable texture, not necessarily the loudest moment. In fact, the loudest moment is often the least flexible. Find a spot that feels continuous, like a motor hum, wind bed, crowd wash, rain, or rolling rumble. Now step 1. Warp it so it behaves musically. Double-click the clip to open clip view. Turn warp on. For most field recordings, start in texture warp mode. Set grain size somewhere around 80 to 150 milliseconds, and set flux around 10 to 30%. Flux is one of those secret sauce controls for transitions. More flux can make the texture feel like it's moving and getting denser, even if the volume isn't changing much. Set the clip seg BPM roughly. It doesn't have to be perfect, we just want Ableton to treat it like time-based audio. If you want tighter sync, drop warp markers at obvious peaks, like a door hit or a train clack. Why texture mode? Because it tends to stretch noisy, non-tonal audio without those warbly pitch artifacts you'd get from other modes. It's made for exactly this kind of organic noise into musical timing job. Next, we're going to split the job into layers, because one clip trying to be a riser, impact, and tail all at once is where things get messy. Duplicate Field RAW twice so you have 3 tracks, Field Riser, Field Impact, and Field Tail. Before we get creative, let's do a quick mix safety mindset. Field recordings can have random spikes that steal your headroom. So as a habit, you can build a tiny cleanup chain you use on basically every field layer, EQ8 for a high pass and maybe one narrow cut for a nasty whistle, utility to keep low end controlled, and a limiter that only catches peaks. We'll do the tone shaping per layer, but keep that don't let the phone mic ruin my mix mentality active. Let's start with a riser. On field riser, at EQ8, high pass it at roughly 120 to 200 Hz, steep slope. In DNB, the sub and kick are sacred. Your transition effects should not be wrestling at the bottom unless you very intentionally want that, and even then, it's usually better as a separate designed element. If the recording sounds boxy, dip around 300 to 500 Hz by a couple dB. If it needs presence, add a small boost around 2 to 5k. Keep it gentle. We're carving a vibe, not remixing the recording into a new song. Then add saturator. Soft sign is a great starting mode or analog clip if you want more bite. Drive it maybe 2 to 6 dB, and then bring the output down so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. The purpose here is to make the noise feel produced and slightly denser, not distorted to death. Now we make it rise. This is where the transition starts to communicate the drop is coming, even with no synths. Add auto filter. Choose a low pass 24 dB filter. Add a little drive, like 2 to 5. Now automate the filter frequency from around 600 Hz up to 16k over 4 to 8 bars. That opening motion is one of the cleanest ways to create perceived energy growth. In the last bar, automate resonance up a bit, say from around 0.7 to 1.2. Don't go crazy unless you want a whistly howl. We're building tension, not detonating a laser. Next, add pitch movement. The quick method is clip transposition. Automate the clip transpose starting around minus 12 semitones and rising toward 0 or even up to plus 7 by the end. If you want smoother, use shifter in pitch mode and automate that instead. Teacher note: pitch rise isn't just higher equals hype. It also makes the ear interpret the sound as accelerating and approaching something, especially when combined with the filter opening. Filter plus pitch is the classic 1-2 punch. Add utility next. Automate width from about 70% up toward 130 or even 160% as you approach the drop. Also automate gain slightly up, maybe 1 to 3 dB near the final half bar. One caution: width on field recordings can go facey fast. We'll do a mono check later, but keep in mind that super wide noisy mids can smear the mix. Often, the cleanest approach is keep the mids fairly centered and let the highs be the wide, exciting part. Now add reverb or hybrid reverb if you had it. Set decay somewhere like 2.5 to 6 seconds, pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds, size around 70 to 100%. High cut the reverb around 7 to 10k so it's not just sizzling. Then automate dry slash wet rising through the build, for example from 10% up to 35%. And here's a very DNB specific move that makes you sound like you arrange with intention. In the final beat before the drop, pull the reverb wet down quickly. Tighten right before impact. Big space is exciting, but contrast is what makes the drop hit. Now we add pumping, the stock way. Put a compressor after the reverb. Turn on sidechain. Choose your kick track or kick group as the sidechain input, ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds, and tweak that release until it grooves with your track. Lower threshold until you're getting about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. This is the difference between nice whoosh and club-ready whoosh. The riser starts breathing with the drums, so it feels glued into the track rather than pasted on top. Quick expansion trick: if your riser feels too static, put autopan on it, but treat it like a modulation engine. Amount may be 10 to 40%. Try rate at 1/8 or 1/16, or even go unsynced faster for flutter. If you set phase to 0 degrees, it acts like tremolo, more mono. At 180 degrees, it creates wide motion. Subtle is usually enough. Okay, riser done. Let's build the impact hit. Go to field impact. Scrub through the recording and hunt for a strong transient. A door slam, a metal clank, a shout peak, a hard footstep. Anything with a clear initial spike. Consolidate a short region so it's manageable, and trim it to about 100 to 400 milliseconds for the core. We're not trying to make a long effect. We want a punchy moment that can sit exactly on the drop. Now process it. Add EQ8. High pass at about 30 to 50 Hz just to keep true sub-rumble out. If you want chest, add a wide boost around 90 to 160 Hz, but be careful. DNB subs are usually already busy, so think of this as a touch of body, not a new bass note. If you need snap, boost around 2 to 4K. If the recording has nasty phone hiss, you can low pass around 12 to 16K. Then add drum bus. Drive somewhere like 5 to 20%. Crunch 10 to 30. Boom can work, but be conservative. If you use it, try 60 to 90 Hz and keep it subtle. Drum bus is amazing for making a random real-world hit feel like it belongs next to drums. Then add saturator, 2 to 8 dB drive, and turn soft clip on. Again, watch levels. We want confident impact, not accidental clipping. Optional but nice, short reverb slap. Decay 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. Very low pre-delay. Dry slash wet 8 to 18%. You're just giving it a tiny room so it doesn't feel like it's in a vacuum. Placement tip: put the impact exactly on the drop transient. In a lot of DNB, that's your bar 1 beat 1. If you're going for jungle energy, try placing it an eighth note before as a flam into the first kick. It can feel like the transition is throwing the listener forward. Now the tail. This is the downlifter and the space, but it has to behave. Big but controlled. On field tail, pick a small chunk of noisy texture, maybe half a second to 2 seconds. Reverse it. Then add a long reverb. Decay 5 to 12 seconds. Size 90 to 120%. Dry slash wet 35 to 60%. Low cut around 200 to 400 Hz. Now resample it. Create a new audio track called Field Print. Set audio from to field tail. Arm it and record a few seconds. This is one of the biggest pro workflow habits. Commit and print. Once it's audio, you can edit it fast. Fades, trims, reverse again. Chop it, place it perfectly. On the printed tail, add auto filter and automate a low pass closing after the drop. For example, start at 16K and over 1 or 2 bars move down to 2 to 6K. That way the tail supports the initial hit, but then gets darker and less distracting as the groove takes over. Then sidechain compress it to your kick or full drums and aim for 4 to 8 dB of gain reduction. This is how you get huge tail without washing out the first bar of the drop. Now let's arrange the whole thing into a clean 8-bar transition. Think in zones. In bars minus 8 to minus 5, the early build. Bring the riser in quietly. Keep the low pass more closed, like 600 Hz to 2K. Width is subtle, like 70 to 100%. You're setting the atmosphere, not screaming yet. Bars minus 4 to minus 2, tension zone. Open the filter more aggressively. Increase resonance slightly. Start the pitch climb so you feel that upward pull. Reverb is rising. Density should feel like it's increasing. Let me pause on that word, density. A transition doesn't just get louder, it gets busier. You can fake density growth by increasing flux over time and texture warp, adding subtle auto pan movement, or even shortening delay times if you're using delays so echoes go from space to chattery. Density is how you get things are happening without just pushing the fader. Now bar minus 1. Pre-drop drama. This is where you earn the drop. Do a quick 1/4 note mute on the drums, or filter the drum bus briefly, and do the classic D-den-B suck moment. Two easy ways. Automate utility gain down fast so the riser collapses into silence, or automate auto-filter resonance to spike and then cut to silence for a split second. That tiny absence creates contrast, and contrast makes the drop feel bigger. Drop moment. Trigger the impact exactly on the drop. Let the tail continue, but make sure it ducks hard under the first kick and snare hits. Here's a slick optional variation. Tape stop into vacuum using stock tools. On the last half bar of the riser, automate shifter in pitch mode quickly downward, like from 0 to minus 12 or minus 24 semitones. At the same time, close the auto filter fast and spike your reverb send briefly, then hard cut to silence for a tiny moment before the drop. It reads like the track slows down and inhales, then punches. Another optional upgrade, make an impact that spreads after the hit. Keep the transient narrow and the tail wide. Put a utility before your reverb on the impact and set width to like 0 to 40%. This audio version is shortened for playback.